This is Jim Inkster. Today's guests include Debbie Allen, the fabled actress, dancer, choreographer, three-time Emmy Award winner. She grew up in part in Port Allen along with her sister, Felicia Richard, and Debbie's back with Pepito's Story this week at the Manship Theater starting Thursday night, 7 p.m. We will talk with the fabulous Debbie Allen, still going strong. Also on the show, Ted James, Baton Rouge lawmaker, state representative. He's involved in the dispute over payday lending. There is a major discussion coming at the Capitol on whether the interest rates that are currently being charged are fair. Ted James has a bill to cap it at 36%. We'll talk with him. Now the news on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number. 877-217-5757. Inkster Show at WRKF.org. We're joined by the fabulous Debbie Allen, who spent much of her youth not far from us in Port Allen, born in Houston, and of course has been a superstar for well over three decades. And she's back with another production involving the Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge, which is presenting Pepito's Story. And Debbie Allen, I know this has special relevance to you because you and Derek Gordon collaborated long ago and far away, and Derek's memory stays with us who knew and loved him.
Well, what's exciting about this production, Jim, is that it's actually the first production that Derek and I ever did. This was his idea when I met at Peggy Cooper's house over a chicken casserole, and he was like, Debbie Allen, would you like to do something? You think you want to do a musical with Arturo Sandoval? I said, really? He said, there's a book, Pepito's Story, and you could adapt this into a ballet. Anyway, he talked me into it right there and then, and that was the beginning of a relationship that went so much deeper than I had any idea would go. And it's such a beautiful piece. It's such a wonderful story. It has such a great moral to it. I'm very happy that we're doing it.
Well, we'll talk about Pepito's Story, which premieres Thursday night, tomorrow night, 7 p.m. at the Manship Theater. Also Friday night, Saturday, two performances, 3 and 7 o'clock, and Sunday, two performances, 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. So a busy weekend for Debbie Allen's dance residency, Pepito's Story, March 13th through 17th at the Manship Theater. Now, when Debbie and Derek collaborated on this, at the time Derek was a senior vice president at the Kennedy Center, and Debbie, of course, was the world-renowned dancer and actress, and your friendship is one that was quite profound, wasn't it?
Yes, it really was. I mean, Derek and I clicked the moment that we met, and he was just such a, I don't know what to call him. He was kind of like a Svengali. I mean, he had such a great appetite for opera and jazz and pop music. He was very eclectic in his own personal taste, and he broadened the scope of what the Kennedy was doing. Kennedy Center was doing by 10 times. He, you know, just changed the whole complexion of the audiences there. And I just learned so much from Derek, and he was so much fun to be with. And then after we spent all this time together, we found out that we were actually related. That was what was really funny. That was so funny to find out, you know.
You were cousins?
Yeah, we found out that my grandmother was on his family tree, and we were distant cousins.
My goodness.
That just made everything make so much sense. You know, sometimes the DNA is stronger than what you might even know. It's just great.
I don't think there's a day that goes by when I don't think of him. He left quite a mark in this community and in many other places.
Yeah, Derek left a footprint that will be followed, imitated, and always respected and adored. So I'm so happy that we established this relationship in Baton Rouge, because I love Baton Rouge for my own personal family reasons, and there's such a great need there, and also so many talented young people there. And you know, the work we've been doing over the years with the Manship, with Cleo Fields and his institute, and It's just been wonderful.
Debbie Allen, who is stated, has been a star for many years, a person of significance, a degree in classical Greek literature and theater from Howard University, and honorary mm-hmm. doctorates from Howard and the University of North Carolina School of the Arts. You have had an impact on so many people, and I know you have a special affinity for young people. You want them to have an experience comparable to yours. And in this production will feature many local dancers, talented young people between the ages of 5 and 21. How do you get immersed in training these young people, Debbie?
Well, you know, I used to be one of them.
I wish you two girls that wanted an opportunity to study dance didn't have any opportunity in Texas, and it just...
Okay, you're fading on us. Tell you what, Frank, why don't we see if we can get Debbie to a better place, because she's moving in and out, and I'm having some difficulty, so I know our listeners are as well. Debbie, by the way, has been commissioned by the Kennedy Center to create numerous works for young audiences, and her family ties to the greater Baton Rouge area are well documented. She's been on this show many times, usually is here in studio, but has been delayed in Los Angeles because she is directing an episode of Scandal. And if we restore contact, which I'm sure we'll talk with her about that. And it's hard to believe that she has been around as long as she has. She won an Emmy back in 1982. For Fame, followed that up with another one in 83, and then one in 1991 for Motown 30. Debbie, I think we got you back, and I mentioned that you're in Los Angeles. Usually you're in the studio gracing us with your beauty and your charm, but you're directing an episode of Scandal.
Yes, I'm directing Scandal right now. Oh, my God, that's so exciting. You have no idea. It's so amazing. The cast is wonderful. The story is too much, and you can't tell anybody anything. You know, you're on lockdown. It's all a secret, but it's so wonderful. And up in Baton Rouge, on the first thing smoking as soon as I rap.
Well, is it fun to work with that group from Scandal?
It's so much fun. Oh, my God, we had so much fun yesterday. I was dancing on the set, hugging the president. You know, laughing with Kerry Washington. They're a great group of people. Most of them are from the theater, which is really exciting because their training, impacts how they perform.
Well, it's a show that has become quite significant, and Kerry Washington has become a star kind of like you did with Fame. This has made her one of the A-list actresses.
Absolutely. Well, you know, she was already A-list, but she's become household name. She was amazing in The Last King of Scotland. She was amazing in that movie, opposite Forrest Whitaker.
297-5633, Debbie Allen, the guest, and I'm going to forward a few inquiries from listeners. Teresa asks about your performance in Ragtime. That goes back a few years. That was before Fame, wasn't it?
Which one?
Ragtime?
Oh, Ragtime was, before Fame. I was a young Broadway star doing a show called West Side Story when Milos Forman auditioned me. And that was an amazing experience. That was my first movie. I was petrified.
Milos Forman's the guy who gave us One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. He was big time.
Yeah, he was big time. And it was such an amazing set because so many people were in that movie, and his director of photography, Mirek Ondaček, they're both Polish, and sometimes they would just go into that language, and they always sounded like they were arguing. We never knew if we were doing something right or wrong, and it made us nervous, but then he said, no, Debbie, you're fine. You're perfect. And they start arguing. That was great.
Another listener, Jordan, references an appearance you made on WAFB. I think this one was with Donna Britt. You talked about your affinity for the Magnolia Cemetery downtown.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we went to the Magnolia Cemetery, which is where my family is buried there. And as a child, we used to romp through that cemetery on All Saints Day. But there were like hundreds of magnolia trees, hundreds everywhere. And now they're just very few, and I think we need to plant them back again.
Well, you and Felicia used to spend the day there and the night.
That's right. We come all the way from Texas for All Saints Day. We go from every different stone heading to those wonderful, beautiful periods. I don't know what you want to call them, but just monuments and memorials. And we would just try to imagine who was there, what they were like, what happened to them. I mean, there's one memorial there where there are three children that seem to have died within 1 week. And we wondered, what was that? Was that the influenza? What was that? and then there was always ghost stories.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have performed in all realms, best known for fame, but your career began on stage, where, of course, you'll be with your cast this weekend at the Manship Theater. It really was a West Side Story that catapulted you into the national spotlight. Is that correct?
Yeah. I would say yes, it had to be. I mean, I had a little warm beginning with the musical Raisin, but it was West Side Story, working with those giants, you know, Leonard Bernstein, the Jerome Robinson. Mm-hmm. It was just amazing. Stephen Sondheim, they were all there. It was amazing.
What was the process? How did you get cast for that role?
Well, I had a private audition with Leonard Bernstein. That's how it started.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Just the two of us in a big empty theater. And I said, well, Mr. Bernstein, do you want a little singing? Do you want a little dancing? You want all of that? He said, give me everything. And then I broke out into a five-minute routine.
All right.
And when I finished, he said, would you like to meet Mr. Robbins? I said, yes, I would love to meet Mr. Robbins.
John asks if one of your proteges was none other than Paula Abdul.
You know, that's true, Paula Abdul. Paula Abdul was a Laker girl when I first met her. And one of her goals in life was to be on Fame. And I was actually out on maternity leave when she auditioned. And it turned into a love fest between us because she was always inspired by my choreography. And that was quite a compliment. And look at where she is now. We're still always very good friends.
Your daughter, Vivian, is beautiful and exceptionally talented. How is she doing?
In New York, bouncing from one Broadway show to the next, doing television work, and we're going to actually do a small tour of Brothers of the Night, you know, the wonderful musical that we started there with. And she starred in that show, and she will be on the road with Brothers of the Night this summer.
That showed right here in 2007, if I remember right.
That was a great inspiration for doing it again. So here we go.
Right.
We'll see.
And how is Norm? How is Norm doing?
Norman is great. I just gave him a kiss goodbye. He was going to the track, and I'm going to Scandal. So we're kind of like shifts in the night right now. We don't quite get to talk to one another, but he's terrific.
Okay, well, I know that you're headed for Scandal and headed for Baton Rouge shortly thereafter. Please tell the cast of Scandal hello from our fair city, and we look forward to seeing your triumphant return with Pepito's Story. By the way, for those who'd like more information about it, 225-344-0334, that's 225-344-0334, manshiptheater.org. Thank you so much, Debbie Allen. And thank you for listening. We've got a lot of ground to cover as we turn our attention to the legislature and other matters. Back in 90 seconds on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number. And we're joined for a few minutes by The fabled political consultant, a man as big in his field as Debbie Allen is in hers, the legendary Gus Weil. Happy birthday, Gus Weil.
Well, thank you, Jim. When I was born was at this day, March the 12th, in 1933, and in one room, I was born at home in Lafayette. In one room, I came into the world, and in the next room, my father was listening to the radio as President Roosevelt closed the banks. So those are the two sounds that permeated 1304 St. John Street.
You're the son of a mule salesman, right?
Yes, a mule deal, they call them. It was a big thing in those days because, of course, there were no tractors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's rather interesting the manner in which he sold them. He and his helper, a black man, took the mules on the road from farm to farm and showed their stock, and then they were allowed to sleep in the barn if, you know, they got caught on the road at night. And that's how he established himself, and eventually they began to let him sleep in their house. And that's when he had really arrived.
Gus Weil was born on this date, March the 12th, 1933. Now, in those days, presidents took office in March. I think Roosevelt took the oath on March 4th of 33, so he was 8 days into the longest presidency in American history when Gus Weil was born. And remarkably, three people I can think of who are occasional guests on this show and friends of mine, Gus, Ernest Gaines, and David Madden, all men with spectacular writing abilities, all born in 1933. When times were tough, and all born in the South. Something about that time, that place, sparked the creative energies.
Yeah, I had no memory of the Depression as such, you know, but my mother and father spoke of it because they were living it. I wasn't so aware of it. I was a little boy. I remember there would be a knock on the back door at our house, and it would be they call them hobos, and they would be regular men and women even riding the railroads because America was destitute, and they would be asking, you know, did we have any work for them? And, and my mother would give them food, you know. When I got to LSU, I researched the Depression, and I was amazed. There were 1 million children riding the rails during the Depression in the United States of America.
When you say riding the rails?
Hobos, going from place to place. It was a culture. People just rode on the freight trains, jumped on board and went to the next town, and they just kind of never came home. Because they no longer had a home in this wealthy nation.
That is an interesting way to segue into what's happening at the Capitol. Governor Jindal opened his seventh session a few days ago, and he spoke more in 18 minutes about human trafficking than anything else. It was an interesting choice of topics for the governor.
Yes.
In fact, I talked to one prominent Republican lawmaker yesterday, and he said nobody likes human trafficking, but he said, you know, there aren't a whole lot of lobbyists at the Capitol for child abusers and child molesters. It was an interesting choice for the governor to accentuate.
Well, it was a choice that he thought. I think he's going strictly by national poll numbers, and somebody must have impressed him. That was an important topic for a would-be a presidential candidate. He wants that job very badly, that job of president. I don't think we'll ever see it happen.
297-5633. In a few minutes, we'll hear from State Representative Ted James, who's active at the Capitol. But Gus Weil is celebrating his 81st birthday with us. You don't think Jindal has a great shot of being president, but at this time, 2 years out, many people didn't think Bill Clinton had much of a shot in 1992 or Jimmy Carter in 1976. I can even remember people saying Ronald Reagan had no shot in 1980.
You're right. I remember that, too.
They said they'd never elect him.
No.
But he got elected and became, of course, one of the most popular presidents of all time.
About President Bush?
Yeah.
My God, it was inarticulate and looked kind of almost like a clown. His face would screw up in that little quizzical expression when he was being interviewed. He was a disaster. And not only did he get elected, he got reelected.
Well, if it can happen to them, it can happen to Bobby Jindal. So on January 20th, 2017, will Bobby Jindal be standing before the world taking the oath of office as the 45th American president?
I rather doubt it. I think our nation deserves better. He hadn't even been a good governor.
Henry,
much less president.
Henry at the Country Club calling in for Gus Weil. Hi, Henry.
Well, good afternoon, or good morning, Mr. Jim. Good afternoon, old dad. How are you doing?
Yes, sir.
I think it's morning in Livonia as well.
Yes, sir.
Well, I wasn't certain what time zone Livonia is in. I kind of avoid that place ever since I got a radar gun. But I want to wish old dad a happy birthday. You know, Louisiana's a much better place because you're on our grounds. And
well,
we appreciate you being here. And I was wondering, now you say you're only 83 years old, but it
81,
heard,
81.
81, for
81.
God's sakes.
I always heard that you and Moses were classmates.
Yeah, he was kind of bright, but always wandering off in the desert.
Couple of items here. Governor Jindal, last week at CPAC, said President Obama's the worst president ever. Your thoughts?
Well, I don't know. The thought that occurs to me is the general is the worst governor ever. But I wasn't aware that Obama would be considered the worst president. I think Obama is destined to be remembered rather well by history.
Okay. Edwin Edwards will announce his candidacy for Congress next Monday at the Baton Rouge Press Club, unless he changes his mind in the next 5 days. Your thoughts about the soon-to-be 87-year-old four-term former governor becoming a candidate once again?
Well, you know, I wish him all the luck in the world. Whatever he owed society, he paid in full. That bill is more paid. And so he kind of wipes the slate clean. I think he'll run a good race because there's so little Democratic talent on the scene. Everybody's a Republican in Louisiana, except me.
The delicious irony would be if Edwards got elected to Congress and Jindal got elected president, and Congressman Edwards would be deliberating about legislative initiatives sparked by President Jindal.
It would indeed be a rare occasion. Well, it would be something.
Well, Gus, it's always a special occasion to talk with you, and happy
birthday. Well, you're so kind,
birthday.
And you're my dear and loyal friend, and I never miss your program.
Well, I love you, too.
And that's I love you, Jim, and thank you, son.
Take care. Bye-bye. We're joined now by State Representative Ted James. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Nice to talk with you, Representative.
Always a pleasure.
Well, it's what's your read on the first few days of the session of 2014?
We're getting a lot of good feedback on our payday bill, which is good, and a lot of positive comments from my colleagues on the other side of the aisle. Still trying to gather my thoughts around the speech that the governor gave. I was looking for him to be more pointed, but, you know, he hasn't spent much time in the state of Louisiana, so we know he doesn't really have a good grasp on the needs of the people of our state. So we're focused on a lot of the issues that we want to see, establishing a minimum wage, predatory lending, of course, making sure that we invest in K-12 education as well as higher ed.
Well, you're involved with payday lending. You've got legislation directed toward that, and one of your colleagues in the Senate, Ben Nevers, is also, I think, involved in legislation aimed at this practice. And Ben Nevers will be our first guest tomorrow, by the way. But what are you trying to do?
Well, when I, just funny, on my way to the Capitol this morning, I passed 8 payday lending places just on my ride down Florida Boulevard. And research showed me that over, you know, the folks in my district alone have paid more than $10.5 million in payday loan fees in the year 2011. And my bill seeks to get a lot of these Louisiana workers out of the long debt cycle that predatory lending traps them in by capping the interest rate at 36%. You know, some of these consumers have been paying interest rates more than 300%, and that's compared to 24% for most major credit cards. So I think that it's important that we protect these hardworking Louisianians because they're looking for a short-term fix. But what's happening is they find themselves trapped in a long-term cycle of debt.
There have been efforts to curb this practice before, and there will be a number of lobbyists at the Capitol trying to keep things the way they are. Is it going to be tough to combat that
situation? It's definitely, you know, I think it's going to be an uphill fight, but I'm very encouraged by the support that we have from, you know, AARP Louisiana, Together Louisiana, the Jesuit Social Research Institute of Loyola, the Louisiana Budget Project. So we have a coalition of Louisiana residents, hardworking people here, and my hope is that their voices will be heard a lot louder than the voices of the lobbyists that are paid, and a lot of them have been paid on the fees paid by these hardworking Louisiana families, and I hope that the voices of our citizens will outweigh the voices of those lobbyists. We are, you know, I'm definitely encouraged by the number of legislators. I had two colleagues come up to me yesterday just to let me know that they're supporting the bill, and they aren't Democrats. So that has been encouraging for me.
Ted James, the guest, state representative from Baton Rouge. He's got a bill that would cap the fees that can be charged by storefront lenders at no greater than 36% annually. Supporters of the proposal say the short-term loans carry exorbitant fees that put borrowers in never-ending cycles of debt. Right now, what is the cap? Is there a limit on what people can charge right now?
No cap now. Certain folks are paying upwards of 300% on these loans. And what, you know, members from the payday industry, they've been quoted as saying that, you know, their business is only successful when the customers are repeat customers. So they're in the business of making sure that these hardworking Louisiana taxpayers are constant in their businesses, and they are that door has been a revolving door for those people. And what is so sad that, you know, I had the opportunity to go in one because I wanted to see for myself. You know, I didn't get any information on interest rate, didn't get any information on financial literacy, and all I was told, well, if you need to come back, of course, we're always here to serve you. And that is something that, you know, really encouraged me to really push forward with this legislation.
297-5633, 877-217-5757, inkstershow@wrkf.org for State Representative Ted James. His bill that is gaining the most attention from what he is trying to do would cap interest rates at no greater than 36% annually for these payday loan rates in Louisiana. And he said he passed 8 different locations on the way into wherever he is right now. I guess he's at the Capitol. So this is big business. There's no doubt that there are people making a good living on this, Ted.
There are, and on the backs of people that are struggling to buy groceries, gasoline, pay for child care and other basic needs. And, of course, the industry will tell you that we're trying to put them out of business, and that's not what we're trying to do. We've asked everyone to give a little in the past, you know, 4 or 5 years. Our students are paying more tuition. Our state workers have been furloughed. And all we're asking is for these predatory lending operations to have a reasonable interest rate for the consumers, and that shouldn't put them out of business. It shouldn't run them away. But what it will do, it will protect, low-income and working families here in Louisiana.
Casey asks, why didn't the governor make note of this in his opening salvo to lawmakers? Why didn't he spend as much attention on this, asked Casey, as he did on human trafficking?
Well, I think that, number one, the governor hadn't spent enough time here to know the concerns of the people of Louisiana. He definitely hadn't spent time on my side, on Florida Boulevard, to see the exorbitant number of payday loan operations. But the governor did speak about protecting the dollars of the hardworking Louisiana families, and I think that this is in line with his comments on Monday. He wants to protect those dollars of those families and keep those dollars in Louisiana, and my bill seeks to do the same thing. Instead of paying millions of dollars to out-of-state companies, we could keep that money right here in Louisiana to grow our economy. So I think that the governor wants, you know, I have an opportunity to talk to him a lot, but I will be talking to his staff to garner where they are on this bill. But, you know, but I don't need the governor's approval, and I think that, you know, he has not spent enough time here to really know what the issues are. So we're going to push forward no matter, you know, the governor's position on it or not.
Well, you may need a signature if it passes.
Most definitely, and that's why we want to push it early in case he doesn't sign it. We'll have an opportunity to go and override that veto. But, you know, usually when that veto threat usually comes early, we haven't heard anything, but, you know, we're going to push forward irregardless of what his position is.
My guess, though, is that this will be a tough thing to get passed.
Yeah, I'm not disputing that. It's always, you know, a tough thing when you have, you know, a certain group of lobbyists who are here, and I know that the industry, they have started calling my colleagues a month before session. But I think that the stories and the concerns of the taxpayers here will outweigh that. You know, I'm not blind to the fact that it's going to be a tough issue. But, you know, we were elected to tackle those tough issues. And I know myself, I don't shy away from a fight when I think it's the right fight. And I definitely think that standing up for these citizens who are paying 300% on a $500 loan is something important.
Okay. 297-5633 for Ted James, state representative. And Ted is now a major player in the Democratic caucus. You're the number two person in the caucus, aren't you?
Yeah, I've been blessed to be reelected as the vice chair under the leadership of John Bell Edwards. And it's a very humbling experience to serve in the number two position for our Democratic caucus. You know, we may be the minority in number, where we're definitely the majority in pushing the right issues, and we'll continue to push forward. And hopefully we'll get a Democrat in the governor's mansion so we could, you know, get some of these common sense things done.
Okay, 297-5633 is your number. Ted James is the guest, state representative and the number two person in the Democratic caucus in the House, with John Bell Edwards leading the charge. Ted James is proposing a cap of 36% interest rate annually on loan rates, payday loan rates in Louisiana. We'll talk more when we return in 90 seconds on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge, 297-5633. Frank Barnett producing, 877-217-5757. Outside the area, Inkster Show at WRKF.org. Online, and our guest is State Representative Ted James, who is leading the charge to cap payday loan rates in Louisiana. As I stated, this will be a tough sell at the state capitol. There is substantial opposition, and people making good living on this and don't want to give it up, of course. And I talked to a lawmaker yesterday who said conceptually he agrees with this, Ted James, but he believes that the market should determine it. And if somebody wants to undercut others and charge 100% or 50% or 36%, they should do it without the government telling them they have to do it. Your response?
Well, I think that if he conceptually agrees with it, then he knows it's the moral thing to do. And as legislators, sometimes we're called to make those tough decisions. And if there are people in our community that are being preyed on, you know, I know this is free market. I'm a supporter of free market, but I'm also a supporter of equity and fairness. And I think that if our credit card companies are charging a 24% interest rate for major credit cards, then our predatory lending operation should be held to a standard that is similar to that of credit card companies. I mean, Congress has they've made allowances for military families. So this is something that is happening across the country and in other states. And I would hope that, my colleague would take the lead. So Louisiana, we could be on the front end of doing something positive and not wait and become the 49th state to do something like this. North Carolina has done it. Georgia has done it. This has happened in other states, and I think that we need to, you know, take the lead in doing so.
297-5633, Andrew Mull calling in, who is now working with the group AARP. And, Andrew, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
Now, your group is also involved in this issue. How so?
That is correct. We, AARP, supports capping the APR rate on the payday lending industry. And AARP, we really work for all generations with our eye on the 50-plus population. And that population, a lot of them are on fixed incomes. And so the payday lending industry, and I heard Ted mention this earlier about all the storefronts that he saw in Florida Boulevard. In Louisiana, they outnumber McDonald's franchises by a ratio of 4-1. So they're everywhere. And so they prey on those on fixed incomes, but across the board, those on low incomes. And so we see this as a way to do something that is right for our Louisiana households and right for our Louisiana workers. And so AARP, along with several other organizations, are also supportive of this effort. And we applaud State Representative Ted James as well as Senator Ben Nippers
for doing something. And we'll let you, Andrew, respond to some inquiries along with Ted James, the sponsor on the House side of this bill. And Andrew just said these payday loan locations outnumber McDonald's in Louisiana by a 4-1 margin. So people are doing well, and they're doing well enough that they have the deep pockets to present a defense of their industry. This 300% rate that you were talking about, Representative James, how does that work? If somebody takes out, let's say, a $1,000 loan, what will it cost them in a month?
Well, the loans typically don't go as high as $1,000. They're typically between the $300 and $500 amount. And what's happening is there's a fee, to process that paperwork. There's another just fees on top of fees on top of fees. Then the consumer has to take out another loan to pay for the first loan. And what happens is, they are in a never-ending cycle because they're continuing to pay for their first loan. So those fees continue to add up, and it's not a new loan. It all goes back to that first loan that they still haven't been able to pay back. So a lot of people who I've talked to, they've end up having to go and take out sometimes 8 or 9 loans just to pay back the initial $300 that they borrowed to get them out of a short-term problem to pay one bill. And now the payday industry has become, one of their monthly expenses, just like their car note, their mortgage, their rent. And a lot of times they never can get out of the pitfalls of the first loan that they took out to get them from, A to B, and now they're all the way from A to double Z in interest rates because that one loan has now quadrupled in some cases.
What happens when they default?
Andrew, you want to talk about that? I know Andrew has been doing a lot of, the research behind it. A lot of these folks end up in bankruptcy. You'll hear numbers and hear statistics when we present the bill with a large number of people who end up in bankruptcy because of these payday loans and the traps that they find themselves in.
State Representative James is right, but I think what's important to mention is that the industry really doesn't want you to default. They want to get you into another loan, and so that's how they trap individuals into that cycle of debt. And Representative James mentioned that it takes about 10 loans per year to repay that original loan, and so these folks stay trapped in debt for sometimes years. So it's not so much the default that's the issue. It's the fact that they get trapped in these cycles of debt that takes sometimes months, years to repay.
So they end up paying thousands of dollars, let's say, on a $300 original loan.
Yes.
That's very possible.
All right. Well, go ahead.
Yeah.
What about older people? You're representing AARP. Is this particularly dangerous for people who are living on fixed incomes who may not even be working at a certain age? What is the reason for AARP is getting involved?
Well, again, we see it affecting those on fixed income. So those who aren't working, who have their Social Security check, and even teachers who get paid at the very beginning of the month, they've been susceptible as well. You get to the end of the month, you need money for groceries or for whatever type of situation you're in, whether it's a medical emergency or what have you. And so these storefronts get you into taking a loan. The documentation is incredibly confusing. The fees that they add on to that mm-hmm. original amount are incredibly exorbitant, and they become very hard to pay off. So what we also want to promote is that there are other financial alternatives out there that folks can look to instead of taking out a payday loan. There are several options, and states that have passed this have seen folks go back to a lot of those alternatives, whether it's going back to your church, maybe it's going to your credit union, your family, your friends, maybe getting an advance on your paycheck at work or your social service organization. There are plenty of options out there. And so I think really it's incumbent upon us to really educate the community as well to let them know about these other alternatives that are out there.
All right. Here's a question from a listener, Jan, asking if there are any lawmakers who are in this line of work. Are there any lawmakers who are lenders?
Not that I know of. I haven't been approached by any of my colleagues, and most of our employment record is free to the public, and I don't know of any lawmaker who's in this line of work. I do know that every member of this legislature has people in their districts who have been affected by it. Not only the AARP, which is a very strong constituent group here in our state, and I would believe that they should be stronger than the all-star cast of lobbyists that the industry has hired. It's no secret that the people of this state have been paying exorbitant amounts in interest rates, because you can tell by the mass of lobbyists they have lined up at the Capitol, and they have been working day one. Day one is usually a pretty quiet day for us. They've been here, they've been lining the halls, and I would hope that, Andrew, his group with AARP, the United Way, Louisiana Missionary Baptist State Convention, that their voices will be a lot louder.
Andrew, you say that these locations outnumber McDonald's 4-1 in Louisiana. What is the actual number?
I don't know the exact number. There was a study that was done, and I think Ted has cited it earlier in 2011, that looked at the actual number of McDonald's of the payday shops and how they outnumbered McDonald's. But I don't know the exact number.
All right.
I have the information, Jim. I don't have it readily available. I'll make sure that I get it to you. But I know in my district alone, we have 12. I have 12 in District 101, and it's no secret, because Florida Boulevard is the border of my district, and anyone that knows Baton Rouge, that Florida Boulevard is that imaginary line that separates the haves and the have-nots. So it's no secret that as I drove down Florida Boulevard right there, these guys are strategic. You won't see payday loan places on Bluebonnet and on Segan or on Corporate, because they are preying on the vulnerable individuals in our society. But I'll make sure that I supply you with
the
number.
Well, if there were 12 in every district, then we would be talking about, 105 times 12, which would be 1,260 statewide. That may not be off the mark that much. There may be over 1,000.
I would venture to say that they probably aren't 12. And, in Steve Carter's district, he probably won't have 12, because he represents the type of consumer that these folks aren't preying.
Yeah, I remember there was a Mr. Cash in the shopping center that is owned by Senator Dan Clater. So that there's some of these places in nice locations, not just in tough parts of town. And believe me, there are people who are getting these loans who are not just living on the fringe.
Most definitely, they are working citizens. Most people, you know, maybe one car accident, you maybe one illness away, one paycheck away from finding yourself in a horrible financial situation. And this is not just a Democrat-Republican issue. It's not a black or white issue. You know, poverty and hard times can strike anyone. So, you know, I know that they're out there. It's just I don't think that they're as heavily concentrated as they are in certain districts, but we'll definitely get you the number.
Right.
But that's what I want people to understand. It's not just, you know, poor people. These are working people. These are bus drivers. These are teachers that are being preyed upon.
Sydney, south of LSU, you're on with Representative Ted James and Andrew Mull of AARP. Hi, Sydney.
Good morning. I just wanted to speak to the black-white issue, rich-poor. I have a friend that actually works for one of the companies, and it's interesting in conversations with her that the people that you see coming in there, you would think it's always poor and underprivileged. Yet, they have to be able to pay these loans back because they want them to keep coming in, to continually borrow and to keep paying. So she's, you know, in discussion, just chit-chatting at home about this issue. She's seeing people that are coming in that are not just poor and underprivileged folks. It's really hitting, I think it's everybody kind of a problem at this point. It's across the board.
All right. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. And we're hearing from, you know, the stories. We hear from a very diverse group of residents here, not only in Baton Rouge, but across the state. We'll be having a meeting on the 18th of this month at Elm Grove Baptist Church. And people have been, you know, a lot of these stories are embarrassing for people to tell. But the fact that they're opening up about it, they don't have anywhere else to turn. And they feel as if they haven't been responded to. They feel as if no one's listening to them. But we're definitely listening. And that's why we are bringing the legislation. And Jim, I have the numbers, 936 here throughout the state. So you're very close.
Yeah, so almost 1,000, 936 of these locations, and we have right at 4.5 billion state residents. So if we do the math on that, 4.5 million people divided by 936 locations, that's one of these for every 4,807 people in our state. Alicia writes, Representative James has hit the nail squarely on the head with this proposal. People using these services are already in dire financial straits, or this wouldn't even be an option. The payday loan industry is just a better-dressed loan-sharking thug, and Louisiana needs this legislation, writes Alicia. Is that hyperbole, or is that real? Andrew?
Well, I think what Alicia said about this hitting folks of all different backgrounds, I think is pretty accurate, and I think that it's something that needs to be addressed. And so, I applaud our legislature for doing it. I wanted to mention that it's not just we were talking about earlier. A lot of these pop up around college campuses. And so I think that college students are another victim of the payday loan traps. So I think that's important to mention as well, that you see a lot of these popping up on campuses and students get involved in debt when they're trying to pay their rent. Or there are other bills, and so it's something that really does affect everybody.
Okay. CB writes, I know there are truly tragic individual cases, but why do most individuals not have a bank account for their payroll accounts? Are these companies handling loans that traditional sources would never be allowed to handle because they are so risky? Your thoughts on that?
I think that you know, these folks know that they're preying on vulnerable citizens, but there are other options out there, as Andrew stated. And what, you know, we need to do is do a better job of giving those options to our most vulnerable citizens. And that's something that we've talked about with all of the organizations that are on board. And when we present the bill, we'll have representatives from certain banks. We have representatives from our credit unions who will talk and speak to the programs that they have readily available. The problem is, since they aren't charging interest rates of 400%, they can't pop up on every street corner. And Andrew mentioned the college campuses, not in my district, but in other districts, they are very close to military bases across the state of Louisiana. So they're preying on the people that serve and protect us, you know, on a daily basis and protect our liberty. So these folks have they're in the business of, you know, making money and making money off the backs of poor people. And we don't want to stop them from making a living and having a successful business. But what we do want to stop them from is preying on people. And of course,
all right, we got to roll. But thank you, Ted James, and thank you, Andrew Mull. Tomorrow, Senators Ben Nevers, Robert Adley, and Arkansas Governor Mike Beebe. By the way, with 4,800 people per location in the state, that would mean on a Saturday night at Tiger Stadium to satisfy that ratio, 21 of these payday loan places would be open. We'll be back tomorrow. Stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.